Psalm 136 was a psalm that was believed to have been written as a recitation that it would be read and then responded to. And the response that I am looking for is, "For his loving kindness is everlasting." Okay, you got that? Because I'm looking at the New American Standard Version, and that's what we got. And we don't have someone on the computer today, so it's not going to be on the screen for you. So you're just going to have to remember, "For his loving kindness is everlasting." Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. You are all just changing everything on me. This is just so fun. We're just going to stop that part and we're going to carry on. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercies endure forever. Where was I? To him who made the heavens with skill, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the great lights, his loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to rule by day, his loving kindness is everlasting. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And brought Israel out of from their midst, for his loving kindness is everlasting. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his loving kindness is everlasting. But he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who smote great kings, his loving kindness is everlasting. And slew mighty kings, his loving kindness is everlasting. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And Og, king of Bashan, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And gave their land as a heritage, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Even a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And has rescued us from our adversaries, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Who gives food to all flesh, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Lord, thank you, for you are good. Amen. The loving kindness of the Lord is everlasting. Who knows what loving kindness is? Grace is a word I heard. I heard someone else say mercy earlier. Really? You know what? No one knows. No one knows. Now, loving kindness is the closest word to explain what the Hebrew word was trying to mean. But even loving kindness, that word, was invented somewhere in the mid-1500s because there wasn't a word to describe the Hebrew word. And so this guy said, loving kindness works. And it does, kind of. So there's a list in Psalm 136 in amongst the loving kindness of being everlasting of things to be thankful for. And I've written it down so that you can not pay attention to me and write down everything in your notes. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is God. He is Lord. He does great things. He is the Creator. He delivers us from captivity. He leads even when we disobey. He delivers us from enemies. He settles us in our promised land. He remembers us when we are in despair. He redeems us. He provides for us. He is God. That's basically what we just read. Now, when you get to he delivers us from captivity, there's a few things there that is written. When it says he delivers us from enemies, there's a few things else that are written. But this one here, he leads us even when we disobey. That is kind of implied. Because it says he leads us in the wilderness. Why did the Israelites go to the wilderness? Did God lead them to the wilderness? No, he did not lead them to the wilderness. He led them to the promised land. And they said, no, we don't want to go there. Let us stay here in the wilderness. But then God, even in their disobedience, led them in the wilderness. Interesting. Now, he would punish them for their disobedience. Because the people who said no to the promised land ended up not going to the promised land. Because he said, y'all are going to die before you get there. But then he didn't just leave them to die in the wilderness. He led them. And that's an important part to remember. So many times I hear people say, God has led me to this thing, whatever it be. Let's just use sickness because that's quite often it is. God gave me this sickness so that I could be a blessing to others. No. Satan gave you the sickness, and God said, let's use it for good. We have a tendency, because we're going through stuff, to say, God is doing this. So something, I can't even remember what it was that I did, and somebody said to me, well, obviously there was a reason for that, meaning that God led me there. And I was like, no. The reason is, I was stupid and made a mistake. God didn't make me make that mistake. God doesn't cause us to sin. God doesn't even bring the temptation to sin to us. But people say, God is in control of all things. Yes and no. Because he gives us a free will. And we have a free will to step out of his will. And when we step out of his will, it is called sin. And that's all implied in he leads even when we disobey, when it says he leads us in the wilderness. So then, this loving kindness. So I have over here written, and you probably can't see it well because I did it in pink. It says, for his Hebrew word, this is chesed. Everyone after me? Chesed. But you have to get the ch right. If you don't do the ch right, then it's not chesed, it's hesed. But it's chesed. Is everlasting. I love those languages that just make you clear your throat every time. Like German, Afrikaans, Hebrew. Chesed. So chesed is everlasting. And Bible scholars have complained throughout history because the word chesed in the Hebrew Bible is difficult to translate into English because there's nothing that really gives a precise definition to what chesed means. And so the word loving kindness was invented by a guy named Miles Coverdale. He was a translator of the Bible right around the same time that Tyndale had his Bible. And Miles Coverdale had a Bible as well. I can't remember the name of the translation, but it's there. But ever since then, the word loving kindness has translated into most of our English versions. And his loving kindness is that it's a sure love which will not let Israel go. It just says, I don't care what you do, you are mine. That's what he says to Israel. You read through the whole Bible. Israel was bad. They had their moments where some good showed up. But then they were bad. wayward is a good word, but that's not a word that we use a lot more. So they were bad. They just went their own way. They did what was right in their own eyes. And they continually did this. But God's loving kindness would not let them go. Not all of Israel's persistent waywardness could ever destroy it. That loving kindness. This steady, persistent refusal of God. God refused to wash his hands of Israel. He refused. It's essential to the meaning of the word chesed. Chesed. Not so much of a ch, you have to chesed. So just a mild clearing of the throat. I'm sure my throat's going to be sore after this one, but whatever. The deeper meaning of chesed is that it is a covenant word. It's not just a word. It's a covenant word. Now, when God makes a covenant, you can guarantee it. God does not lie. God does not make a promise that he doesn't intend to keep. In fact, the Bible says all of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, and then we add our amen to it. That means that it's going to happen when we agree. And you can see the deepness of this covenant between God and his chosen people, Israel, through the history of God's dealing with his covenant people. The continual disobedience or complete rebellion of Israel made it inevitable that if God is never going to let Israel go, then his relation to his people must be one of loving kindness, of mercy, and goodness. All of it entirely undeserved. You just read about Israel in the Old Testament. They continually disobeyed. They refused to obey. You know, there is not one recorded instance of them following the harvest pattern that God said to do. He said, let your crops lay for or go for 6 years, and then in the seventh one, you let it rest. There's not one instance in here where it says they actually did that. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm saying it's not recorded in our history. And I wonder, did they? Don't know, because they were guaranteed that in the seventh and eighth year that they were going to be fed from what they got in the sixth year. But then you come to the 49th year, the 49th being a division of seven, and so it's a year of rest, but the 50th year is the year of Jubilee, a year of rest, so they had to have food from the 48th year to carry them through the 49th year, through the 50th year, and through the 51st year up until harvest. Did it ever happen? We don't know, because it's not recorded here. I always wonder what would happen if our farmers today would follow that pattern. It's God's promise. God does not lie. If God does not lie, then the Sabbath principle should work. But they were wayward. They were rebellious. So God's whole relationship with them, if he's not going to let them go, was loving kindness, goodness, mercy, grace. And it's obvious time and again from the context that if God is to maintain the covenant that he had with Israel, then he had to exercise mercy to an unexampled degree. that nobody could ever have as much mercy as God did with the people of Israel. Because God said, I will never let you go. Child, you are mine. I have called you by name and you are mine. 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 Sorry, for those of you who are Pixar fans. Just think on that. If Israel received the proper treatment for their stubborn refusal to walk in God's way, there would be no prospect for her of anything but destruction. Since God's demand for right actions never wavers. He always demands righteousness. Even today, he demands it. It is his command. Do right. Even today in our first scripture that I read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Do not do anything that is evil. Get away from it. Strict as God's demands for righteousness are, God's yearnings for the people of his choice are stronger still. And here lies the great dilemma of the prophets of old, and a dilemma of all of us to this day. Which comes first, mercy or justice? God is justice. God is mercy. So what does that mean? We live in a world where justice is demanded for anything that is done wrong. So what can happen? Well, God, in his great mercy, what did he do? Sent Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for all sins. For all sins. For all the world. You've heard me preach before. You know where it's found in the scriptures. When we try to estimate the depth and the height and the length and the breadth of God's loving kindness and mercy, we must also remember that he has a passion for righteousness. It is so strong that he could not be more insistent in his demand for it. We can see it throughout the Bible. Says it all the time. But God's persistent love for his people is even more insistent. His demand for righteousness is insistent and always at a maximum intensity. He says, do this or die. For the wages of sin is death. But the loving kindness of God means that his mercy is even greater than his demand for righteousness at its maximum intensity. But the gift of God is eternal life. Chesed. The word stands for the wonder of his unfailing love for the people of his choice. The solving of the problem of the relation between God's righteousness and his loving kindness passes beyond all our human understanding. So yes, flee from all types of evil. Don't even have the appearance of evil. Do this and do that because it's a good thing to do. But don't kill yourself because you failed. Because even God won't kill you for you failing. His mercy, his chesed, endures forever. God's mercy. He loves you so much. all those promises that are listed there, just look at them and take them into your life. Just compare yourself to how Israel was. And compare how your life reflects a lot of theirs. Now, maybe you didn't do all the things that Israel did. But I can guarantee you there are things in your life that you can say, woe is me. I don't deserve anything. Well, guess what? You're right. You don't deserve anything. But God, in His mercy, gave us Jesus Christ, His Son. And how could He possibly withhold any other good thing from us if He's already given us the best thing that He has? I feel like reading a scripture just to prove that point. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Oh, look, it says exactly what I just said. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him give us all things? Why? Not because of you. Because of Chesed. His mercy is everlasting. He is good. He is God. He is Lord. He does great things. He is the Creator. He has made you. He has fearfully and wonderfully made you. Do you remember what that means? It's not that He went, ah! He went, in a quiet pleasure, with the greatest amount of respect and awe. That's what fear means. He fearfully and wonderfully said, I made Jerry. That's what He says when He looks at you. The quiet pleasure of a father saying, I don't care what she did. My chesed is all over you. But that's not just for her. That's for each and every one of you. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter what you will do. Yes, try to do things that are right. But when it doesn't go right, say, give thanks to the Lord, my God, my King, my Lord. You are so good. Your chesed endures forever. That's all it takes. He delivers us from captivity. You could be wallowing around in the lostness of this world. And all He wants to do is say, come to me. All you need to do is say, Lord, I accept you. And then His chesed flows. He leads us even when we might disobey. He still says, well, if you want to take the long route, then let's go for a walk. But I promise I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Even though we could be sitting over there across the Jordan right now, in all the wonderfulness of that land of milk and honey. I would have destroyed all of the giants for you. You would have taken all of the cities all at once. You would have never faced defeat. But you said, the giants are too big. I look like a grasshopper in their eyes. Even though there's grapes that are 6 feet tall and more, I can't go in there because it's too much. You said that, but you know what? Let's go for a walk. And I will teach you my ways. I will teach you who I am. And we will go and we will walk. And eventually, you will find the goodness of the promised land. That's God's said. He delivers us from enemies. You just have to read up on the Israelites and you'll see that. And then he settles us in our promised land. You know how he settled it? They had to fight. Not saying that you have to go through a battle on everything, but there are some things you better get on your knees and fight like a man. He remembers us when we are in despair. How many of you have been in despair or are in despair? Guess what? God ain't forgotten you yet, and he never will. He rescues us. He provides for us. He is God. Give thanks to the Lord.